Hey guys, welcome back to the Core Group Curriculum Podcast. This semester we are going through Hebrews 11 by faith. We are going character by character, looking at these Old Testament characters, kind of just looking at what are they telling us about what faith looks like? How do we see Jesus in the Old Testament? Last week we were with CJ and we talked about Moses, and this week we have Landon.
What up?
And we're going to dive into Joshua for the next 2 weeks, actually. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of like a part one of Joshua with Landon, and next time we'll get part two. So Landon, what happened last week and how is that kind of just like flowing into what's going on this week?
Yeah, so we talked about the story of Moses last week, and if it felt like we tried to cover a big story in a short period of time, it's because we did. The story of Moses spans over 40 chapters, and the Hebrews 11 scripture was helpful in like condensing that into some key themes and some key examples of Moses' faithfulness. But that is just one of the pitfalls of trying to do the entire Old Testament in just one semester, is that you're naturally going to have to kind of skip over some really awesome stories. I even felt that way with like the story of Joseph too. Yeah. And so the more that I can just say like, read the whole story of Joseph, you know, read the whole story of Moses. If reading seems like a lot, watch, you know, Bible Project videos. Yes. To kind of get a good overview, because we really are kind of zooming in. It is somewhat ironic now that I'm even thinking about it that we like spent a week on Joshua, a week on Moses, but 2 weeks on the much tinier book of Joshua, and kind of the story of Jericho. But you know, that's just how things shook out. So yeah. Hopefully that's where we're supposed to be.
The Hebrews author pointed it out for us.
True. And
so, yeah. You know, it's fine.
It's a great point.
Yeah. And I also think it's helpful to watch that, maybe watch those Bible Project videos, especially part one kind of covers a lot of what was talked about in the Hebrews passage last week. And then part two will kind of conclude that and help lead into where we are this week.
Yeah. So to answer your question and to connect from Moses to Joshua. So Moses leads his people out of exile in Egypt, into the desert, for a minute. And, eventually it comes down, to, basically, Moses isn't able to enter the promised land. That responsibility is given to Joshua, who is Moses' successor.
Yes.
And so Joshua is kind of knocking at the doorstep of the promised land, and Jericho is on the horizon as this key city for the Israelites to conquer, to finally step into this land that was promised to them all the way back in Genesis to Abraham. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of like the whole, it's almost like the kind of the climactic moment of Israel entering the promised land, which we'll talk more about Jericho specifically next week. But to kind of even like scout out, you know, what's going on in Jericho, like, you know, can we take this city? Joshua actually sends out two spies into the city. And that's kind of where we pick up in chapter two of Joshua.
Yeah, so the book is called Joshua, but this week's passage is going to focus on a different character.
Yes.
That is named out in Hebrews, named Rahab. Mm-hmm. Who is a woman in Jericho. Am
Correct.
I right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us more about Rahab, about Joshua 2. Like, what is the scene that we're entering this week?
Yeah, so Rahab is a prostitute who lives in Jericho, and these two spies who Joshua sends out find shelter with Rahab as they kind of are going in to scout out the city. We see in Joshua 2 this whole narrative of city officials like getting word that there are spies. So apparently they weren't all that great of spies. and knocking on Rahab's door and being like, you know, hey, like, you know, have you seen these guys? And she was like, yeah, I saw them, but I didn't know who they were, when really like, and like they left when really they were hiding in her house at that time. So it's just like this bold act of like countercultural faithfulness, mm-hmm. that we see from Rahab, which eventually, as we'll see in Joshua 6, spoiler alert, the Israelites did take Jericho, that Rahab's faithfulness to these spies is actually honored. And she becomes included into the people of Israel, and actually ends up being a part of the Messianic lineage, which ultimately leads to Christ, which is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Which we'll probably hit this multiple times in this podcast, but like Rahab becomes a pretty big deal. Like, like you said, she becomes a part of the Messianic lineage, but she's then brought up by multiple other New Testament writers as someone who displays faith.
Yeah.
And she wasn't an Israelite.
Right. And she gets, I think it's even, it's not just Hebrews 11 where she, gets a shout out. It's also in James 2,
yes.
I believe, where she's kind of put forward as this example of like how faith and deeds go together and how mm-hmm. naturally our faith should lead us into action. And so when we think about, you know, the Hall of Faith or people whose faith that we could exemplify, I don't think we would think of, you know, a prostitute who lived in Jericho. But I think that's just such a beautiful example that I think we've seen already over the course of this semester that God likes to use, you know, some of the most unlikely people to display his goodness and his faithfulness.
Yeah. Dang. There's so many amazing things to dig into with this passage. What is one, as you were like researching this and writing about it, what is something that just like really stood out to you or something that the Lord spoke into you as you were looking into this?
Yeah, I think it's just how Rahab's inclusion into the people of Israel, into the Messianic lineage, just is an example of a thing that we see throughout scripture, but that is just like God's welcoming nature. His heart to include Rahab, despite her, you know, we know that she probably wasn't a person of, you know, like she probably had her fair share of moral failures. But that didn't exclude her, from this promise of salvation. I think there's even like some really messy stuff in the book of Joshua where it's like, well, why is God like, you know, justifying this, you know, genocide of a people group. And like, you know, you see a lot of violence in the Old Testament. And so there can be a lot of like, you know, what's going on here? Like, you know, is this the same God that we hear about in the New Testament? Is this God just? And as I was digging in, it really just, you know, it came down to this line of like, you know, were people willing to align themselves with the purposes of the God of Israel? Or were they aligning themselves with other purposes? And so I think it's important to realize that these people in Jericho, I don't know, there wasn't any, like they were intentionally setting themselves in the opposite direction of the purposes of the God of Israel. And so that's why we see things not work out so well for them. But we see for Rahab, who chooses to live in a countercultural way and say, no, I'm going to, even though this isn't, you know, my people group, like I have heard of this God of Israel, you know, we see that beautiful, you know, confession of like even faith in verses 9-11, where she's like, I've heard of what your God has done. I heard how he led you out of Egypt. I heard how he led you through the Red Sea. And she's like, I believe that this God is the God. And I want to, you know, do whatever I can to, be on his side and align myself with his purposes. And we see that God honors that. And so that his, you know, his mission to redeem the world and bring all people to himself isn't exclusive to one people group. I think is one of the coolest parts of the story of Rahab.
Yeah. And it's not exclusive to us who are at CSF either.
Yeah.
And it even just makes me think about like what people would say if like, we as a people, like as like a ministry, allowed the Lord to move here in such extraordinary ways that people on campus could like look at our, the love that is flowing through this ministry and say like, I believe in that God because of what he is doing through those people, you know?
Yeah.
Because it is what God is doing through the Israelites that led Rahab to believe and then to have faith and then live out in action. And so, yeah, I think that's a really cool image. So we have this image of inclusivity, and we also keep hitting this word of living counterculturally.
Yeah.
So let's dig into that a little bit too. So Rahab was not an Israelite. She was living in Canaan, but believed in the Israelite God. So how is she living counterculturally, and what does that mean for us?
Yeah, I think she definitely stood to lose a lot.
Yeah.
You know, she obviously, like, as a woman, as a prostitute, wasn't a person of great means, power, or influence, and really stood to lose a lot by, you know, just telling a bold-faced lie to the authorities and by, you know, by helping these spies out to the detriment of, you know, her own city. And so I think that even, you know, we talked about that with Moses a lot of like, I think we've even hit a lot of characters of just there are risks to, yeah. To living, the life of faith. And I think it naturally requires sacrificing some things and, requires even saying no. I don't think we can say yes to living towards God's purposes without saying no to the purposes of the world.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to think even, you know, what does it look like to align ourselves with God's purposes? And how do those differ from, the purposes of campus? I think that even ties back to some of what we were talking about at Synergy, even of like, you know, what is the story that God's wanting to tell? What is the story that God's wanting to author in our lives? And what's the story that the world wants to tell? And what's the story that the world wants to author? And so I think that's some of the questions that the story of Rahab can provoke. I think these are good questions to wrestle with in group. These are good questions to even, you know, give space for students to journal through, to wrestle with. What is it, you know, what does choosing to align myself with God's purposes here and now, you know, in my current context, what does that inevitably cause me to say no to? And what purposes do I need to not align myself with?
Yeah, that's awesome. So we have this thing that we want to do every week where we are looking at the Old Testament scripture and wanting to see the whole story of scripture by seeing how is Jesus revealed in this Old Testament passage. So Landon, where do we see Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you have to realize that before Rahab is, you know, promised by the spies that, you know, hey, like when we take Jericho, we're gonna protect your family. She's set to be a part of that destruction. Like literally her life is on the line. And she, you know, in a sense is like, in some ways, like already, like because you know the Lord has given this land to the Israelites, in some sense, is like already dead, and so we see through this, I don't know, this like path to salvation almost given to her, where her God's like, no, I want to redeem you, and I want to give you a new life, and I want to bring you into what I'm doing through the people of Israel, and so I think we see the same thing, and we talked about how that even displays like God's welcoming nature, and I think we see that. In the person of Jesus. I think we see that we are left dead in our sin until Jesus comes, until Jesus, you know, embodied flesh and takes on the cross, takes on our sins, pays the debt that we could never pay, and, you know, conquers death itself. And in that, he, you know, reconciles Jew to Gentile, right? Mm-hmm. It's not one people group. It's bringing everyone into the family. And yeah, I think we see that same welcoming nature in the story of Rahab that we also see in the person of Christ.
Wow. Landon's out here preaching the gospel. That's so good. And so that other element of what we want to really hit in this curriculum this semester is faith. Like, what is this speaking about our faith and what it looks like? So what is Rahab's life kind of like showing us?
Yeah. I think one of the big things that that really kind of highlighted for me is like, being faithful doesn't mean being perfect. I think that Rahab was by no means a perfect person. I think we can take solace in that. But I think one of the coolest things about Rahab is that she was intentional about aligning herself with God's purposes in the world. And she was able to discern what that was, even without like the fullness of like a relationship with him. You know, so like how much more for us who, you know, claim to know the Father. But he can work with our willingness to just, our willingness and even like our openness to just say, God, what do you want to do? And to just, to stand true to that and to understand that there's going to be consequences to that and, understand that that's like a countercultural way of living. But I think it's just a simple yes to say, you know, God, I want to be in line with what you're doing because I've seen what you've done, right? I think that's a key piece. I think that's even a good reminder for us who, you know, may find ourselves in tough seasons or may find it hard to be living the life of faith right now. I think that the fact that Rahab's faith begins with the testimony of what God's done, I think naturally should lead us to look back and say, you know, God, how have you been faithful? Where have I seen you before? And if that's hard, then to even lean on your community to call that out and say, you know, how the Lord's been good to them, how they've seen the Lord be good to you, even if you can't see it. But yeah, I think that's, there's even, such a power of like story, that's highlighted in the power that story can be used to include people, yeah. Into the family of God.
That's pretty cool. That sounds like the power of story and utilizing that for inclusivity sounds like a pretty cool event idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can talk about that later though.
Yeah.
Yeah. In this podcast. Right. Yeah. So how do we also apply this, like as a, like a practical thing? So like we can talk about theology and the Bible all day, but like, what is the practical theology of this story?
Yeah. I think that, for me, I think there's a lot of good things that can come out of this story. But I think the one I want to highlight, because we are entering as a community this dirty laundry season,
yeah.
is just the power, like I said, the power that that our story can have, and really that our collective stories can have, to proclaim God's goodness to people who don't know him, and include them into what God's doing. Because I think that... I don't know. I think we're going to, obviously, in Dirty Laundry, in less than a month, we're going to hear so many incredible stories from those in our community. I think the power of that night is that it's not just one person telling them a story. It's this, you know, the sum of the pieces, right? It's that we see a common thread through everyone's story of God's goodness, of God's redemption, of God meeting us in our brokenness, which we see, you know, he does to Rahab too. And so I think that this is a good practice for each of us to do, to take time to even think through, what is my personal story? You know, how has God shown his faithfulness in your life? How can the stories of your brokenness and God's goodness welcome others in? I think that challenge to even wrestle with what is our own dirty laundry. I think that's a beautiful thing for us personally, but I think even when we share that communally, like I would encourage even groups to, you know, find time this semester, just have like a night where everyone shares, you know, testimony.
Yeah.
Because that's the cool part, is when it's like everyone tells their story and you're like, you know, this isn't about us. This is about God and what he's doing. So yeah, know what your story is and be willing to tell it, because I think it's one of the most powerful tools that we have to spread the gospel.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love that this is connecting so perfectly with what's coming at CSF next couple of weeks. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming to give us a listen this week at the Curriculum Podcast. Thanks, Landon, for coming and telling us about Rahab. And we will be back next week with Landon again to keep talking about the book of Joshua. Can't wait. Bye, guys.